much bigger than love your enemies from our elder Daniel last week. That's a challenging one, but a word in season most definitely. And today, church, we're going to look at another one of those teachings. And I'm actually delighted that Pastor Hugh gave me this one, as it's actually something that I am incredibly passionate about. Passionate about many things, Zumba being one of them. But I'm very passionate about prayer. Now, I know what you're all thinking. She has to say that. She's the pastor. But let me tell you, I haven't always felt this way about prayer. I haven't always had this passionate relationship with prayer. It wasn't something that came naturally to me. In fact, if anyone ever asked me to pray out loud, oh my goodness, a sweat began to break out and my heart began to beat in my chest and I was absolutely terrified. So I haven't always felt this passionate about prayer. However, it has become something that I cannot live without. It is something that we can actually learn how to do. It's something that we can get better at. And as I've developed my own private prayer life, it has become something so, so precious to me. I cannot live without it. I cannot get through a day without it, especially those tough days. Anyone had a tough day this week? Yeah, a couple of tough days. Prayer is the answer. Prayer is what we need when we're having a tough day or a tough time. It's how I deepened my relationship with the Father. It's how I learned about Him, about His character. And through the process of prayer, church, let me tell you something. I learned a lot about myself. And I wouldn't change my relationship with prayer now for anything. I cannot live without it. And I hope by the end of this message today, I will have convinced you that prayer is powerful. So if you're here this morning and you're finding it hard to pray, difficult to pray, you don't know how to pray or maybe what to pray, then there's hope. There's always hope, isn't there? There is hope because prayer is something that you can learn. It's something that you can develop. And Jesus, our Lord and Savior, can teach us. And I promise you, if this is something that you really want to develop, then you won't look back. You definitely won't look back. Prayer is powerful. Prayer changes the atmosphere. It leads to breakthrough. It brings peace. It brings clarity. It will draw you closer to God. It will increase your faith. There's just a few things that prayer can do. But most of all, let me tell you something. Prayer changes you. Prayer changes us. Billy Graham said, before prayer changes others, it first of all changes us. I agree with that. Mother Teresa said similar words when she said that prayer changes us so that we can then change situations. Look at that. That's amazing. You will have heard it said before that the Christian life is a journey. You heard that one? A journey. Some of you may say it's a bit of an adventure. But in order to live the Spirit-filled life, that's the life that God has called us to live, there are a few tools. There are a few tools that you will need in your spiritual survival kit. Shona and Fiona led us beautifully in this, led us right into this message today a few weeks ago at our family service. There are a few things that we need for the journey. You will need the Word of God, which is our sat-nav, because without it, we get lost. It's as simple as that. You need to be in a Spirit-filled church. Anyone in a Spirit-filled church? I think we needed a bigger yes than that. Anyway, we're in a Spirit-filled church, are we not? Yeah. Yes, hallelujah. Yes, we are. You need to be around Holy Spirit-filled, godly brothers and sisters. Because the journey at times is a bit lonely. Have you ever experienced that? It can be hard. It can be tough. That's why I'm so grateful for my brothers and my sisters around you. So that when I'm having a hard day, when I'm finding it hard to pray, they pray with me and for me. You'll also need a guide. Of course you'll need a guide. suffer. Sometimes it's lonely. That's why we need each other. But we need a guide, because if we don't have a guide, we will get lost. And Jesus, he is our guide. He will be with us always. He's promised us that. The Lord himself, Deuteronomy, goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you, nor will he forsake you. So do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Amen. So it's important that we are therefore able to communicate with the one that has secured our destination. Amen. And Jesus is the one that will lead us. Without him, we are lost in this world. And the way we communicate with our guide is simply through prayer. It really is as simple as that. And this is a very, very simple message this morning. But let me tell you something. If you capture this, if you capture the power of prayer, it will change your life. It will change. This will be life transformational, this, if you really grasp the power of prayer. It's like any new relationship. The more you talk to God, the closer you will become in your relationship with him. Take two lovers, for instance. Have you ever watched two people fall in love? I'm a people watcher. I love to watch people. And when you watch two people fall in love, you can see it. They can't wait to be with each other. They long to be in each other's presence. What do you like? What do you not like? What's your hopes? What's your dreams? What's your desires? What music do you like? What food do you like? They cannot wait to be with each other, to find out all about the other person, their hopes and dreams. You know, we do the marriage course here. Pastor and Hugh and I do the marriage course here, and it's all about good communication. That's one of the most significant sections in the marriage course. It's about good communication and about developing good communication. You see, our relationship will very, very quickly grow stale and die when there is no communication, when we fail to invest in one another, when we fail to take time and understand in each other, and not only talk to each other, but to listen to one another. And our relationship with the Father is no different. You know, it's about seeking and nurturing a closer relationship with him. And we do that through communicating with him, spending time with him in prayer. So that's what we're looking at this morning. So I want you to take a peace pause right now. And I want you to ponder right now your own prayer life. Think about your own prayer life at present. Are you like two lovers that cannot wait to be with each other? You cannot wait to see their number come up on the phone or receive a text or Snapchat, WhatsApp, Twitter. There's so many. Is your relationship like that with God, that you long to be in his presence and to hear his voice? Or has it been a while that things have turned cold? Can I suggest that if it's the latter, that God hasn't moved? God hasn't gone anywhere. In fact, he's waiting right now for your call. So prayer is vital in developing that up close and personal relationship with God. You will deepen your relationship with God by spending time with him. We're able to experience his omnipresence when we come away from the world and we sit in his presence by the power of the Holy Spirit. He is with you in that moment. Remember, Jesus promised us that he'd be with us, that he would send the helper to be with us, the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is with us always. The Bible also tells us that he, the Holy Spirit, prays also. The Bible tells us that Holy Spirit prays on our behalf. We're going to read that now, Romans 8, verse 26. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes, that's praying, for us through wordless groans. On those days where you just don't have any words, on those days where it's become just too raw and it's become too painful. And all you can manage to do is just to sit in his presence, because what you're experiencing is too great to even utter any words. A bit like Hannah in the temple when she was just so, so devastated. Her heart was filled with sorrow in days like that where all that comes out is just groans. On those days, the Holy Spirit prays on our behalf. He hears your silent longing. So even if all you can manage is just to say, Lord, I'm here, he hears you. He knows what's going on in your heart. If on those days, all that you can manage is tears, and some of you said that you've had a difficult day or two this week, and maybe all you've been able to manage this day is tears as you've come before the throne of grace. Well, let me tell you something. We say it all the time at Women to Women, that tears are a language that God understands. In fact, our tears are like our liquid prayers. He understands those prayers too. So what we're hearing this morning is that prayer is most important, as one of our most important tools in communicating with God the Father, in developing a close relationship with him. Having this continuous conversation with the Lord will lead us through this life. It will develop our spiritual muscle. It will help us to develop patience. Yes, it will. It will highlight who God is and who you are by listening and sitting still in his presence and listening to his voice. It will increase your faith. So have I convinced you yet that prayer is powerful? Prayer changes things and prayer changes us. So how do we do it? How do we pray? What should we pray? You know, I said that this is a very simple message today, and it is. Many of you will have learned how to pray from a very young age. You will have learned to clasp your hands and pray. Perhaps it was your mum, your dad, or a granny or a granddad that taught you how to pray. I remember when I was in primary school, it was about primary six, and I had this teacher. Her name was Mrs. Thompson. And Mrs. Thompson was a wise woman. I didn't know it at the time. You don't realize it at the time that your teachers are wise women and men. But she was a wise woman. Do you know why? Because every single morning before we had lessons, she encouraged the class to clasp their hands and pray the Lord's Prayer, which we're going to look at today. Perhaps there wouldn't be so many problems in our world today if teachers were still permitted to encourage their class to clasp their hands and pray before they start the day. Father, have mercy on us. Forgive us. Sometimes I think we forget the importance of prayer. Let's not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but instead be transformed by God. Let's be different. Let's be a praying church. Let's be praying men and women. Let's be praying husbands and wives. Let's be praying parents. Let's be praying friends, praying people. Let this church, Mossfield Community Church, be a house of prayer, a boiler house of prayer, as it says in Matthew 21, further on in verse 13, my house will be called a house of prayer. But you are making it a den of robbers. This is Jesus, devastated as he entered the temple. And the temple, a holy place, had been turned into a marketplace, not a house of prayer. So I wonder, when Jesus looks on at Mossfield Community Church this morning, does he see a house of prayer? Does he see a praying people? Help us, Jesus. So how do we do it then? Well, let's return to our passage today for Matthew chapter 6. We're moved out of chapter 5 now. We're moving into chapter 6. And let's read chapter 6, verses 5 to 13. And when you pray, not if, did you notice that? When you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray, standing in synagogues and on street corners to be seen by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep babbling on like the pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Amen. Verse 9, this then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Amen. So Jesus here is teaching on prayer. The prayer that he teaches them is commonly known as the Lord's Prayer. That's the prayer that Mrs. Thompson led her class in. However, it wasn't actually a prayer for the Lord. It was actually a prayer for us. It was a prayer that he taught us. He taught specifically the disciples. And that's why it's so often also referred to as the disciples' prayer. But we're so glad. We're so glad that he gave us this prayer. You know, it was the prayer that Jesus gave the disciples when they asked him, can you teach us? Lord, can you teach us? You know, you can ask God questions like that. You can ask God big questions, you can ask him little questions, and here we've got the disciples asking them to teach them how to pray. And we read that in Luke's Gospel, chapter 11, verse 1. One day Jesus was praying in a certain place, so he's praying, they're watching. When he finished, one of the disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples. He said to them, when you pray, you should say, and then he went on to pray the Lord's Prayer, Our Father. Now, I don't know about you, but I've always found it very interesting that the disciples asked Jesus to teach them how to pray. Now, I'm actually very glad that they did, because we get to hear the answers. The Bible's amazing. You get to hear the questions. You get to see the answers right there for us. But what struck me was the fact that they were Jewish men. Surely these Jewish men knew how to pray. Surely they were praying all the time, were they not? So why on earth did they ask Jesus to teach them how to pray? Was it because they saw something? Because they witnessed all of this. When Jesus was praying in that certain place, what was it that they saw in Jesus that was different? What was it about Jesus when he spoke to God that was different to the way that they prayed? I believe they saw a freedom. You see, as Jewish men, they would have prayed three times a day, morning, noon, and night. But here's the thing, they didn't have to be limited to that. Don't have to be restricted to that. There is freedom in prayer, church. You can speak to God anytime, anywhere, any place. You see, I believe Jesus demonstrated this, that you can talk to God directly to God, straight to the Father, anytime, any place. You can come in here and you can pray in his holy sanctuary. Of course you can, and he is here. But you can also pray to God sitting behind your desk at work, peeling the potatoes, driving to work. Can I encourage you, though, don't close your eyes when you're doing that one. It's not a good idea. So what was it about the way that Jesus prayed that intrigued them? Because you see, they were intrigued. So intrigued that they asked the question. I believe they saw in Jesus a different way to communicate with the Father. I believe Jesus revealed an up close and personal relationship with the Father. Yes, that God is holy, enthroned on high, but he is an imminent God. He's right beside you. He's close, and he wants to hear from you. And the disciples witnessed every day with Jesus the importance of prayer, the importance of speaking to the Father daily. Yes, it's good to teach your children to pray bedtime prayers. I'm sure many of you, as you're putting your little ones to bed at night, like I did when they were wee, they don't so much allow me to do that now. Hopefully they're praying their own prayers now. You tuck them in and you teach them their bedtime prayers. But we should also teach our children that you don't need to just pray them at bedtime. You can pray them all day, every day. The Bible teaches us that Jesus would retreat often. He retreated often to pray in that solitary place in Luke 5, verse 16. Jesus made prayer a priority. Have you? Have you made prayer a priority? It was a natural part of communication. And Jesus prayed all different kinds of prayers. And I've not got time to talk about all the different kinds of prayers that we can pray. But just to name a few, Jesus would pray when he had big decisions to make. The night before he selected, made his big selection on the 12, he took himself away the night before and he prayed. If you've got a big decision to make this week, someone here today has a big decision to make this week, pray about it. Bring it to the Lord in prayer. Jesus would pray for the sick. We pray for the sick often. That's why we have the cross at the end of every service, every meeting, so that you can come forward and we can pray for you. And Jesus would do that. He would lay hands on people and he would pray for the sick and they would be healed. Jesus would pray thanksgiving prayers. When was the last time you gave thanks to God in prayer? And when we sit down, if you've ever done that, you sit down with a piece of paper to write down all the things that you're grateful for. My goodness, you end up, an hour goes by. You don't even realize it because he's done so much for us. And Jesus prayed thanksgiving prayers. In fact, he prayed and gave thanks immediately before he raised Lazarus from the dead. That's how good his prayers were. Try it. See what happens this week at work when you start praying over everybody's seats before they actually enter the office. Try that. Go to work this week before everybody else arrives and go and pray over their seats. Just put your hand on their chair, the one you don't like. Pray. What is it? Love your enemies, Danny. Pray for that one before they come in. And watch the atmosphere change. Watch the atmosphere in the office change. They don't know you've prayed over their chair. God is good. Now, this point in the text, Jesus was actually communicating with them the importance of prayer. And he goes on to talk about the hypocrites that would pray. And he talks about the fact that their intentions were not pure. Their reasons for praying were not what we've been talking about. Which is not to develop and nurture a closer relationship with God. That's not why they were praying. They were praying to be heard and to be seen by others. Now, Pastor Hugh, Daniel, Tim and myself, all through this series, we're talking about right living. That's what 5 and 6 is we're journeying through together. It's all about living the life that God has created us to live. And Pastor Hugh talked about the intentions of the heart. You see, God can see right into the heart. He knows when you're not loving your enemies. He knows when you're not being a peacemaker. All of those things. And in these teachings, he's showing us how to live for him. And he's saying, when you pray, you shall not be like those hypocrites who love to pray in the synagogues and in the street corners, but you instead go into your room, shut the door, pray to the Father in that secret place, and the Father who sees in secret will reward you. Jesus mentions the way that the hypocrites would pray, that they would be praying to be seen in the synagogues or out in public on the street. They would pray at 9 and noon and at 3. And the point that Jesus was making here is their intentions to pray was not to draw closer to God. It wasn't to draw closer to God at all. It was just so that other people could hear them and so that they could sound important and holy and so righteous. This is a common fault in public prayer, to be seen and heard by others. But it's not a genuine pouring out your heart to God because you want to develop and nurture a closer relationship with him. Now, please don't hear me wrong. I'm not saying that we should not meet together to pray. In fact, corporate prayer is commanded, and it is so very important, which is why we meet on a Monday evening at 7 p.m., led by our elder William, and how we meet on a Wednesday morning at 9:30 at Abide. Did you get that? See you all this week. It's important, of course it is, to pray together. However, they were praying not because of this desire to draw closer to God, but to be heard by man. Jesus was saying, don't be praying to be heard by man. Pray to communicate with me. Talk to me. I'm your Father. You know, such hypocritical prayers are actually an insult to God. When we mouth words to God, but what we're actually trying to do is impress somebody else. Let's not be a church like that. Let's not be a praying people like that. We want to be a church whose minds, whose hearts are so fixed on God that we know who it is we are praying to, and we are hungry to come into his presence. Jesus' response to this type of praying was that they would receive their reward in full. Did you catch that? You want to pray like that? You want to be praying just to be heard by man? You'll receive your reward in full. Everybody will see you, but there'll be no heavenly reward. There'll be no heavenly reward for this type of praying. And in a couple of weeks' time, I'm going to talk to you about heavenly rewards and treasure. And he goes on to address those, though, who honestly desire to pour out their hearts before God. And he says to them, come away. Shut the door behind you and come to me. And again, it's not that he's saying that you've got to come away and not pray with each other. That's not what he's saying. But because there's obviously power in agreement when we do come together and pray. But what Jesus is saying here is more to do with who are you praying to? Who is the one that you're addressing when you're praying? Our prayers must always be directed to God. When you pray, go into your room. Meet God in your room, your closet, if you like. This idea of a private place in space where we can impress no one but him. Where we can talk to no one but him. The ancient Greek word for room here is likened to a storeroom. And get this. There is treasure. There is treasure to be found in that storeroom. Church, there is treasure to be found when you draw close to God and you meet with him in that quiet place. Isn't that beautiful? God is so much that he wants to share with you. So much that he wants to reveal to you. Blessing that he wants you to receive, but you will never receive it if you don't come and spend time in your closet. Spend time in your closet this week. Treasure awaits you. One of my favorite verses in Song of Solomon. Arise, my darling, my beautiful one. Come with me. Come with me, he says. Come away with me. Get away from the chaos and the noise of this world this week and spend time in your closet with Jesus. So let's return to our main text now in Matthew 6. In verse 7 and 8, he goes on to reveal the right kind of words to pray. That's what we're looking at now, the right kind of words to pray. And he says, stop using those vain repetitions. What does that mean? Stop all that babbling, all that blah, 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 that empty words, insincere prayers. And you don't need to use those big fancy words either. Saying, just come away and speak to me. You can talk to him like you would talk to your best friend. You can talk to him. You can just share your words. He was encouraging us just to open up our hearts and pray. It's a beautiful divine exchange in that moment. Spurgeon says, Christians' prayers are measured by weight and not by length. Many of the most prevailing prayers have been as short as they were strong. Amen. All God is interested in is you, in your heartfelt prayers, nothing else. And here's the reality. God already knows your heart. He already knows your prayers. He knows what you need. We read that there in verse 8. Now you may be thinking this morning, well, if he already knows what I need, then why do I need to bother praying? And you know, what's the point if he already knows? But here's the thing, he wants a relationship with you. He desires you. It's a bit like if I go back to a marriage. You know, I don't need to tell Gordon that I love him every day. But I do, don't I? Don't I? Just keeping a tally. Don't keep tallies either, that's not good. He wants to hear your voice. He wants to hear you tell him that you love him. Not because he needs it. He doesn't need his ego massaged. It's not like that. But he wants to be with you. He wants to hear from you. Choose his counsel. We pray to commune and appeal to a loving God who wants to hear your voice. He wants to answer your prayers. Now, God wasn't saying that in this prayer room that we should pray this prayer, the Lord's Prayer, and this prayer only. You know, it wasn't legalistic. Well, you know, it wasn't like that. But he was giving us a starter. He was saying, look, if you're going to pray, here's something that you can pray. Here's a prayer. Now, there's many prayers in this Bible. In fact, we looked at some of the prayers at Abide on a Wednesday. There's lots of prayers. You can even start with the prayers of Jesus if you want to do some research. But when the disciples came to Jesus and they asked Jesus to teach them how to pray, this was the prayer that he gave them. Now, I would be here for probably 6 weeks if I was to go into this in detail. So this morning, I'm just going to give you the headlines of the Lord's Prayer, okay? So if you're taking notes, I'll try not run too quickly through it. So the Lord's Prayer has seven petitions, seven prayers, if you like. And the number seven, we love the number seven, because in the Bible, the number seven represents perfection. Isn't that lovely? So in this prayer, we have seven petitions. So number one, our Father, hallowed be your name. The prayer begins with the words, our Father, our Father. What are we doing there? We are starting the prayer acknowledging who it is we're praying to straight away. So that rules out that whole hypocritical praying, who are praying just to be seen by others. There's no doubt in this prayer, at the beginning of this prayer, who it is I'm praying to. I'm praying to my daddy straight away. And that changes things. Now you can pray our Father if you like, but you can pray to any one of the Trinity. You can pray to Jesus. You can pray straight away to the Holy Spirit because he is a he. You can pray Holy Spirit. You can pray Almighty God, Sovereign Lord, Abba Father. It's just what we've got here, but what we're doing is we're addressing the Holy One. So for instance, if you're needing healing and what's on your heart is that you need Jesus to heal, you can start off your prayer, healer. If you need God to be your deliverer, you can pray deliverer. If you want Jesus to be your friend, you can pray friend. Doesn't matter who's Jesus, what do you need him to be today for you? The most important thing here is that we are addressing him. It is him, it is the Lord God that we are praying to. Then it goes on to say, hallowed, which means holy, which means sanctified. So when you're saying his name is holy. So whether you're praying Jesus, Holy Spirit, our Father, his name is slowly. And let me tell you something. When you take a pause before you even utter a word and you acknowledge who it is you're praying to, when you stop in that moment and you think about it, truly, truly think about who it is you're praying, it will change your prayer. A holy confidence will leak out of you in that moment when you say, Sovereign Lord. That changes everything. That changes the landscape because immediately you're recognizing that you're praying to one who nothing is impossible for. That's who you're praying to. You're praying to the Almighty God. If you're struggling right now, if there's something going on in your life right now that seems massive right now, stop in the moment and go, Almighty God. It changes our prayers. It gives you a holy confidence. So our Father, who art in heaven. We're going to look at the next two petitions together. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What are we praying here? Well, very simply, we are praying that we as God's people would live in peace and in love with each other as in heaven, where it is filled with peace and love for each other. Do we? Do we live in peace and in love with each other? Where we've been teaching on this throughout this series. As I've said, Daniel brought that word last week about loving your enemies. And Pastor Hugh's spoken about this also, about forgiving others. And I spoke about blessed are the peacemakers, the people who make a way for peace, to live in peace, in harmony with each other. This is what Jesus is asking of us. This is right living. that we as his people would respond to each other this way. Jesus commanded us the greatest commandment to love the Lord your God first with all your heart, mind, soul and strength, and to love each other also as yourself. Number four, give us this day our daily bread. Who's had their toast this morning? You had your toast this morning. Just as good food nourishes the body, the good news of God nourishes the soul. The Bible instructs that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Amen. In this petition, Jesus is, of course, not talking about actual food, but spiritual food, spiritual sustenance. His nourishment comes from his word, the holy word. It comes from communion with Christ, who is the bread of life. Amen. The bread of life. Those who feed on him shall live forever. Amen. Number five. Said I was going to go quick. Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. Now we know there's several translations of the Bible, so there are therefore several translations of this prayer. You may be more familiar with forgive us our trespasses, or you may say forgive us our sins. But this part of the prayer can often be the most significant part for many. What we're doing in that moment is acknowledging that we are sinners. Yes, we are, all of us. We all fall short of the glory of God. We need Jesus. He is the only one that can cleanse us from that sin. And that's what we are doing when we pray this petition. We're asking God to cleanse us from sin and to forgive us. This can be hard. It can be difficult. But there is freedom from sin when we bring our prayers to God. But notice it doesn't just talk about us asking for forgiveness, but to forgive others. That's those that have hurt us. That's those who have wronged us. And I'm not going to go in over that because we've looked at that over the last few weeks also. Number six, lead us not into temptation. Temptation can cause us to sin, leads us away from God and the plans that he has for us. Sin will take you further than you ever intended to go and will cost you more than you ever intended to pay. We've been looking at that at Woman to Woman. However, temptation will come our way. It will, but Jesus has given us a way out. Pray. If you feel tempted right now, pray. The Bible says that he will offer you a way out. No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful. Yes, he is. Amen. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will provide a way out so that you can endure it. Amen. Pray. If you're feeling under pressure right now, tempted to sin, pray and ask God, show me the exit, show me the way out, show me, Lord God, so that I don't give in to sin. And the seventh and final petition in the Lord's Prayer is the request to deliver us from such evil. So yes, there's temptation, and we ask God to help us not to be led into temptation. However, when we do fall and when we do fail, and let's be honest, we all do, this petition covers the many times in which we do fall into temptation. And it's during these times of entanglement that we need to seek God. And we need to say, Lord, help me. Lord, get me out of this pit. Lord, I need you. What we're asking our loving, merciful Father is to release us from the clutches of sin and evil. So the Lord's Prayer focuses our thoughts on what's important in life, how to live as good and faithful servants. The band can make their way back now. When we're praying to God, we're acknowledging, we're revering who he is, that he is the Almighty God. And in praying to him, he is the one that will lead us out of temptation. He is the one that can forgive us of our sins. He is the one that can help us to forgive those that have hurt us. He is the one who is teaching us in this series how to live for him, how to have pure hearts that reflect him. And our Lord Jesus is so wonderful in that he gave us a prayer. He gave us the Lord's Prayer to help us to pray. It's important that that if you want to develop an up-close and personal relationship with God, that you start with prayer. So would you stand with me now, church? Madeline's going to take us back to the slide with the passage with the prayer on it. I thought it would be nice to end our message this morning by saying the Lord's Prayer together. The words shall be on the screen. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And all God's people said, amen. Thank you, Chuck.